You can go an entire week in our world and almost forget God is there. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you eat breakfast, you get dressed, you go to school, drive to work, answer emails, take phone calls, study, take tests, come home, watch Netflix, eat dinner, fall into bed. And you never had to stop once and deal with God's presence, unless you wanted to. There's nothing that was going to just remind you that He's there. No one stopped at the door of your office to ask if you took your offering to the temple this week. No one checked to see if you were clean or unclean when you walked into the grocery store. But you have to understand that the ancient Israelites, they did not have that option. Every part of their daily life was pressing the question of God's presence onto them. Worship was not something they went to for an hour a week. It was the center of life, and everything else just kind of fit around it. In ancient Israel, worship was never a private, inward experience. Their ordinary life was carefully arranged around God's presence. And it was experienced by the people in community. Worship was central to everybody's life, and it was impossible to ignore. Every day, every week of every year, their life was organized around public worship. The animals in your backyard were being raised for sacrifices. The way they worked, the way they lived, the way they prepared food, the way they shared meals with each other, everything pointed them to God. It was impossible for the ancient Israelites to escape the reality of God's presence. And it's easy for us, with modern eyes, to look back on their way of life and to be distracted by the rituals themselves and miss the meaning behind them. And so tonight, very briefly, I want us to look at Leviticus chapter 1, where God begins to explain all of those sacrifices and rituals to the nation of Israel. And I want us to see something important. So we're going to begin reading in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. But first, let me pray and ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Father, we do ask that as we come to Your Word, that You would be gracious to us, give us ears to hear, help us to think about what it means to live our lives around Your presence. And we pray that You would strengthen our faith and challenge us in our walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Then he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. And Aaron's sons the priests shall arrange the pieces, the head and the fat, on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord." Leviticus 1 is sort of the front door into Israel's public worship life. And it shows us what it took for an ordinary Israelite, this is not a special person, an ordinary Israelite and his family, this is what it took for them to draw near to God. It took a perfect animal, a bloody death, which he is really participating in, right? And then a priestly mediator to help with some of the ritual. And then when after you get to verse 9, after that come instructions for families who could not afford a bull. So the next section allows, you know, if you can't afford the bull, then bring a sheep or a goat. And then if you can't afford the sheep or the goat, then you're, you know, you can bring a bird even. And there are instructions for what your family could afford and what they could bring at any given time. And that's a lot of what's going on in the book of Leviticus. And all of those offerings have something in common. Number one, that blood must be shed for atonement. Atonement's a fancy word for, you know, how we are reconciled to God by our sins being covered or satisfied. Worship, number two, is going to cost the people something. Okay, so blood is required. Worship's going to cost the people something. And then finally, it was necessary. This wasn't optional. This wasn't like extra credit worship. If you wanted to draw near to God, this is what you were instructed to do. Why? Well, something that we don't see in English is that all of the words related to sacrifices and offerings actually have the same root word in Hebrew. It's the letters Q, R, and B. And the meaning of that root word is significant. It means to draw near. It's used roughly 17 times just in the first chapter of Leviticus, and it's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament, and it tells us something about the heart of God. All of this, the sacrifices, the rituals, all of it was about drawing near to God and being accepted by him. And it was a lot. It was intended to be a lot. It was intended to be a burden. It was intended to be bloody. It was not intended to be easy. And all of it communicated to God's people that drawing near to God was difficult. It was costly. But we know something that the Israelites 3,500 years ago did not know. And it's that drawing near to God, even in this tedious and costly way, is actually impossible. It didn't work. It didn't make them acceptable. It didn't create the atonement that they needed. So why in the world would God make them do it? Well, we find out in the New Testament that God made them do it because the sacrifices were signs, not solutions. They were God's way of teaching his people two things at the same time. First, that he really does welcome sinners to draw near to him. And second, that no animal, no priest, no ritual that they could bring would ever be enough. All of it was a long, bloody arrow pointing forward. The book of Hebrews says that those sacrifices could never make perfect those who draw near, and that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But God was writing into their daily life. He was writing into their senses, into their muscle memory, the message, you need a better sacrifice. You need a better priest. You need me to provide the way to come near. And on this night, that's exactly what Jesus did. He sat at a table with his disciples. And he says, in effect, that all those offerings were rehearsals. this is the real thing. This is my body. This is my blood of the covenant. It was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he instructed them to keep doing it. Why? So that our senses would be engaged, so that it would become muscle memory for the Christian to remember what is signified by this table. Because in Christ, for the first time in history, all that the offerings promised was actually happening. Real atonement was being made. Real cleansing was possible. Real acceptance by God. So that now, as Hebrews says, as we read earlier, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And so let us draw near. So if the old system said that drawing near to God is costly and in the end it's impossible for you, the cross and the Lord's Supper say to us the cost has been paid. And in Christ, it's not only possible, you're invited. Come. Draw near to God. Standing inside Leviticus 1 for just a moment, I just want you to feel the weight of it, right? If you were to put yourself, I mean, some of you couldn't even imagine doing the things that Leviticus 1 described. Drawing near to God is not casual. It's costly. Something had to die. Blood had to be shed. A life had to be given up entirely on the altar. But we know what the average Israelite did not yet know is that, you know, the animals in the backyard and all those trips to the tabernacle and the priest throwing all that blood on the altar every day, that was not the final way of drawing near to him. It was God's way of saying over and over, I want you to draw near to me, but you cannot make yourselves acceptable. You need a better sacrifice. On this night, hours away from becoming that sacrifice, Jesus established those terms. And his disciples looked back on it and they reflected on it and they realized, as Jewish disciples, that's what this is. That's what he's doing. And when we come to this table tonight, we're not bringing something to God to try to get his attention. We're coming, just like the disciples did to Jesus, empty-handed, to receive what God has brought to us, which is his only Son, the only perfect offering. Because in Christ, and only in Christ, is it possible for people like me and people like you to draw near to a holy, holy, holy God. And the cost has been paid. And the way is open. And if you belong to Christ, then you're invited to do what Leviticus 1 was only hinting at. You're invited to draw near to the living God with confidence. Because the sacrifice that was required by God has already been offered. And so tonight, you're invited to come to this table. If that's your profession of faith that you've made publicly with the rest of your brothers and sisters, you come to this table not because you're worthy, because you lived a great, perfect life this week, and so you get to take the table. No. You come because the Lamb who was slain is worthy, and in him you are accepted. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray that as we prepare for the table, that you would prepare our hearts, that you would do the work that only you can do to somehow humble us and make us confident at the same time. Humble us knowing that we do not deserve to sit at your table, but confident knowing that the work is finished and we're welcome. And this night of all nights is a mix of emotions. On the one hand, we feel heavy because we remember the cross. But we also feel joy because the work is finished. We're looking back. Jesus is hearing this prayer. He is alive. And so, Father, help us as we reflect. Help us as we come to your table. Make it a means of grace for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.